Well, good morning, beloved. Good morning to our visitors. Please stick around and just know that you are our honored guests. We are so thankful that each and every one of you saw the need to come out and worship God in spirit and in truth this morning. And that is what our prayer is, that we can all be edified, that we can all bring glory to God. This morning, I want us to think about some fundamental facts of faith from the book of Exodus. I've just been studying, and the book of Exodus has once again come across my mind, and I'm finding the richness that is found within its pages. And unfortunately, so many in this world, so many also in the Lord's church, do not see the need to study the Old Testament, do not see the importance of us understanding what the Old Testament has to say. Because it's in the Old Testament that we develop a sense of who God is, what He desires, how God worked, His mindset. You know, Romans 15 and verse 4 tells us, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So we're learning, and what does this provide for us? That we, through patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. So that is why we are looking at the Old Testament this morning, is so that we might have hope in understanding who God is. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. It says, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know, there are many ways that we could address the book of Exodus, and there are many, many lessons that we can gather from it. But this morning, I want to just look at three. And hopefully these three points will gather as much of the idea of who God is and what He does for us, and the comfort that comes from just knowing who God is. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is that God will hear. God does hear. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24. It's also up on the screen. And it says, so God heard their groaning. This is the children of Israel. They're under Egyptian bondage. And it says, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You know, God is never too far away that He cannot hear. Exodus 3 and verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. Now, God is that father figure that cares for His children. He's never too far out of reach. He's never too busy to listen to us. You know, so many fathers these days are too busy for their kids. They're too busy to sit down and to just hear their children's thoughts, hear their children's concerns. But God hears us. God cares for us. You know, there's a song that is religious in nature, and it's entitled, He Already Knows. And it speaks of how God will take time out. And it paints this picture of God sitting down in front of you and letting you pour out your heart and soul to Him, giving you time to do that, even though He already knows. Even though He already knows what you're going to say, God still wants to listen. God still takes time to hear you out. Now, He's never too busy. In Exodus 22, verses 22 through 23, look what it says here. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me. The idea of any time, to whatever degree, whatever minute complaint or care or concern, you know, we just looked at in Bible class, that we need to have faith in God that we can know that He cares for us, that we can cast our anxieties and our concerns upon Him, and that He will listen. You know, even while expecting Moses to do his job, you know, part of faith is understanding what God will do, what God has done, but also understanding what God expects. Even though Moses is complaining, even though Moses is trying to get out of doing what God wants, God meets him where he is. And he reminds him, and he's trying to rebuke him, but at the same time exhort him. In Exodus 4 and verse 11, after Moses complained about that he's not eloquent in speech, God says, "Who has made your mouth?" That tells me that God is not just there trying to beat Moses over the head. "Do it, do it. I don't care what your concerns are. I don't care what your fears are. Do it, do it." No. God takes the time to try and understand, or he does understand, but to show the care. And even further down in Exodus chapter 7, he gives Aaron, his younger brother, as a prophet to him. You know, there are some hard truths about the character of God. You know, we see God, and he's a God of grace and a God of love and a God of understanding. But sometimes his promises serve as a warning as well. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, look what it says. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who" what? "Who do evil." And before this passage, we have a list of expectations. Do not speak evil. Do not have a lying tongue. Do not do this. Do not do that. Look at the passage and examine the context of the scripture. God has expectations. In 1 John 9, in verse 31, look what it says. "Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." Now we all know that all fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. But when we put on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27, and we are his people, even though we may not be perfect, even though we will sin from time to time, God hears us. What comfort, what peace that brings. That even though I am not perfect, even though I will mess up from time to time, God hears us. You know, James 5 and verse 16 tells us to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it speaks about the benefit of prayer, both on a psychological, emotional, and spiritual level. That the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer. And we think about God at times, and we see him answer prayers, and sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says not yet. But we need to never forget and never believe that God stops listening. Because that goes against his nature. God will always listen to his people. The book of Exodus reminds us that God is never too far away to hear our call, our pleadings, our cares, to lean upon him and to trust in him. Secondly, I want us to consider that God will remember. And we're going to look at this morning kind of a dual nature of this. One that serves as a thing of comfort, a promise, to provide hope, but also as a warning that God does not forget. You know, not only will God hear us, but he remembers his promises. God is not keen to old age and forgetting the promises that he has made. We don't have to worry about when we become a child of God that he will forget that we have put on Christ in baptism. Scriptures do not teach that. Again, returning to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24, So God heard their groanings and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You know, God's promises are seen. And sometimes God's promises come immediately. But sometimes throughout Scripture, we see that they take generations to come to fruition. Does that mean that God forgot about them? No. But they came about when times were right. Galatians 4 and verse 4, when everything was perfect, that is when Christ came. You know, Genesis 49, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. We understood that the Messiah was coming. God did not forget about it. But He allowed things to fall into place. You know, Abraham enters into a covenant. And Abraham and God, they make promises to one another. And in Genesis 22, verses 16 through 28, we're just going to read the first and the last. Look what it says. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. So God is making His promise. And He says, in your seed, at the very bottom, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have what? Obeyed my voice. Fundamental facts of the faith, we must understand that God will always do His part, but we still must be doing ours. This nature of God cannot be ignored. But this also brings comfort. But it also serves as a warning. You know, Psalm 105 and verse 8 says, He hath remembered His covenant forever, the Lord which He commanded to a thousand generations. You know, the text doesn't necessarily say it, but it's implied. He remembers what He told them from the first generation to a thousandth generation. He remembers. He does not forget. You know, in Isaiah 43, God is speaking of His promises and His desires for them. But God was not sigh to rebuke. In Isaiah 43, 22 through 24, we see you have not. And what have the children not done? In verse 22 of Isaiah 43, they had not called on Him. God did not forget about that. God was keenly aware of their mistakes. You have not called upon me. You have not brought your good sheep for me. Verse 23. You have not brought sweet sugar cane, nor been satisfied with me. See, God understands their heart. And He sees this, and He sees this playing out. But this morning, I want us to understand God's nature. Psalm 98 and verse 3 says, He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. His mercy and His faithfulness. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And God remembers His children even today. Those who are willing to put Christ on in baptism, those who receive His word, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. When we accept the word of God, John 1 and verse 12 tells us that we are given the right. The King James Version says the power to become children of God. What a blessing. What security to be considered, to be called a child of God. You know, those in the Old Testament, they knew something greater and better was coming from what they currently had. In Jeremiah 31, verses 33 through 34, look what it says. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And we jump down to the bottom and it says, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. You know, you see, when the New Testament comes in, there will be no need for us to say to one another, come and know the Lord. See, the Old Testament, God winked at their ignorance. God winked at their weaknesses under the law. but now commands all men everywhere to come to repentance. You know, the promises are still true for us today. No matter what is going on in our lives, even though we are keen to forget, especially during the holidays, we have a thousand things on our mind. And those of us that are parents, we try to be good parents. We try to keep our promises. We try to remember the promises that we make to our children. We try to take time to listen to them from point one, to hear them, to let them know that we care, that we're here for them. But sometimes we forget. Maybe we're overly busy. Maybe age has something to do with it. But God, even though He is our Father, He is described as that loving Father who chastises and rebukes, but He's still that Father who loves and admonishes. He doesn't forget. He is faithful. You know, 1 John 1 and verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And God doesn't forget about this forgiveness. Just as He does not forget about the sins, the unrepented sins that tarnish the souls of so many, on the other side of the coin, God does not forget those who He cleanses through the blood of Christ. You know, Acts 3 and verse 19 tells us that there's so much power in the blood of Christ being converted and having our sins blotted out. You know, putting Christ on in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27, when God sees us, He sees Christ. That is what we want. Now, we have the promise of rest. God does not forget about that. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." You know, we have the encouragement to strive for that rest. Hebrews 4 verses 10 through 11. "For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore what? Be diligent." Again, God has His expectations. "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience." In Revelation 14 and verse 13 says, "And I have heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Why are they blessed who die in the Lord? "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Do we get to heaven because of our works? No. But God remembers. God does not just cleanse us and forget us. He cares for us. But again, I can't help but think, thinking back when I was a kid and I did something wrong and my mother or my father were very busy, my mother would forget to discipline me, but not my father. I'd come in and I'd show them my report card, or I'd tell them that I got in trouble, and my father would be working out in the yard and he says, "Go get a switch, go get a belt. When I'm done here, I will be with you." And as a kid, I was just hoping that he'd forget. I was hoping that something else would come up, that something else would happen to where I would be able to get by. But every time, when I thought that he had forgotten, my dad would show up. When I thought that I had just narrowly missed a whooping, my father would show up. God will not forget to bless those, but also God will not forget to punish those. We have this warning in Hebrews 3, verses 18 through 19, where it clearly paints this picture that who did God swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient, to those who did not believe. God did not forget that promise, that if you are disobedient, you don't believe in me, you will not enter my rest. God did not forget that. And the Bible speaks of no pain nor sorrow. We sing that song from time to time. In Revelation 21 through 4, this is an image of the perfected church in heaven. And it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." What a beautiful image. What a beautiful thought. But thirdly, God will provide the way. God will provide the way for us to enter into that rest. God will provide the way for us to be those faithful children. You know, God did not lead the children out of Egypt and forget about them. He was with them. He was with them day and night. Exodus 13, verses 21 through 22 says this, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night." And to better understand how much they relied upon God, you can go to Exodus chapter 40, verses 36 through 38. And it speaks about how when the cloud was above the tabernacle, meaning signifying that God was there and he desired to be worshipped. When the cloud was away from the sky, and it was not in the sky, but it was rather in the tabernacle, they did not move. It was only until that cloud went away from the tabernacle and reappeared in the sky did they begin to move once again. That is how much they relied upon their God. Today, still, God provides the way, telling us where to go. You know, Paul quotes the Old Testament in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, and he says, "Come out from among them, be ye separate." Sometimes for us to clearly see the way, we got to take a step back. Sometimes we got to remove ourselves from the distractions of this world and see the way. Matthew 7 verse 13 tells us, "Enter ye therefore the narrow way." Now, when it comes to Christ, we have something better than a pillar of cloud, a cloud or a pillar of fire. We have Jesus Christ and his words and the life that is recorded for us all throughout Scripture. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." John 8 and verse 32 tells us, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What allows us to know the truth? What allows us to be free? John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so we must be fully, wholeheartedly dependent upon the word of God to guide us, to sanctify us. Now, God will not only provide Israel with the path, guiding them by day, guiding them by night, guiding them spiritually through with the law, God also wants us to have the means to sustain ourselves, to be that faithful child of God. He provided water for them. In Exodus 15 and verse 23, it says, "They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, they named it Marah." And then in Exodus 15 and verse 25, God provided a way for them to make the water sweet. God understands that we need more than just water. He provides us with food. In Exodus 16 and verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord God said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven For you and for the people shall go out and gather at a certain rate every day, that I may prove to them whether they will walk in my law or not. And when we think that God will only provide to a certain degree, you've heard me say this, that God will always surpass our expectations. He even provides them with quail in Exodus 16. But today, God has promised for His children. Nothing has changed. God is the same God then as He is today. God will continue to provide. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What is the context of this? You know, in verse 25 of the same chapter, it says, "Do not worry. Do not worry about the raiment. Do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on. Because these things God will provide." In verse 26, God asks them something. Or Jesus is asking. And He says, "Are you not of more value than they?" God provides for the birds. God provides for the grass. But are you not more valuable than the birds and the grass? In verse 32, it says that God knows what we need. He understands. Luke even adds this, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows what you need." Knows that you need these things. You know, sometimes it's strange, but when we follow God's way, things just seem to work out. You've heard me say this before. Just things seem to work out. And when we are trying to follow Christ, and we're seeking those things which are above and not those things which are below, and we ask and it will be given to you, and we seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. You know, God is not a God who gives His children serpents when they ask for something else. God is predictable. And if we ask God to help us in our journey with Him, He will provide. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says this, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." Even in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Understanding all that God has provided for us. Understanding that all God will continue to provide. But also understanding God's expectations from us. We cannot ignore that. You know, God will provide the knowledge to serve Him, to please Him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue," verse 4, "by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, we spoke about this morning in Bible class, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, that if we understand how profitable Scripture is, that we may be complete, that we may know and understand what is that perfect will of God is. And God gave the children of Israel the law. Today, God expects His children to read, to appreciate from Genesis to Revelation, to understand who He is. And the book of Exodus is one of those books that you can use as a springboard to develop that faith, to develop that understanding. In Ephesians 2, verses 15 through 16 tells us that Christ wanted to reconcile both Jew and Greek through the death, through His own death. And the Bible contains God's wishes, His desires, and the need to take advantage of them. You know, there are many wonderful lessons for a child of God to learn from the book of Exodus. These three are just the tip of the iceberg of what is contained, what is the richness, the beauty that is contained within Scripture. And we need to remember that God will hear. We need to remember that God does not forget. But at the same time, God will blot out our sins to where He does not see them anymore. God will provide a way for His children. But God still has His expectations. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God has His expectations. Now, God worked with Moses. He had His expectations. God worked with Joshua, but yet had expectations. God worked with the children of Israel, but yet has His expectations. For us this morning, we can turn to Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. And it says this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." That is an expectation. "So walk in Him. Live in Him. Live by what He tells you to do. Not only that, but we must be rooted. We must be built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. And even go above and beyond, abounding in it." And look at what the attitude, "with thanksgiving." That is what God expects of all of His children. To follow after the footsteps of Jesus. To live in the way, even though we may be persecuted, just as the Scriptures teach us that those that were of the way were persecuted, God still has His expectations. God still provides the way. If something has been said this morning, and you are curious to study another portion of God's Word, to understand some things that I spoke about this morning, to understand some things that we do in here, if you are in the audience, please let us know. If you're watching online, please email us and ask those questions. But maybe something has been said that has convinced you to put on Christ, to change your ways. This morning you have heard just a small portion of God's gospel. "For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith cannot come from within, but it must come from the one true source. That's God. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to establish His church. "Upon this rock I will build my church." That's what Jesus told Peter. We need to also repent. Turn away from our old lifestyle, our old habits, and get on that straight and narrow path, Matthew 7, verse 13. Understanding that just calling upon the name of the Lord, just doing good things for God is not enough, Matthew 7, verse 21. But we must be doing the will of the Father. We need to also confess with our open mouth that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, verses 16 through 17. We need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the way, that He does provide the way to salvation. Then we need to reenact that death, burial, and resurrection. Being baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38. Walking in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. And then we need to live faithfully. Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Be ye faithful unto death, even if it causes our death, and ye will receive the crown of life." Blessed are those who are dead in Christ. But maybe you've put on Christ in baptism, and maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you've not appreciated what is contained and what is found within these Scriptures. We will pray with you and for you. If anyone has any need, please come forward as we stand united and as we sing. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling to